What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 14th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We have Mr. Green in Great American Ballpark with the flamethrower. Yeah, I had a fun time doing a Clue reference at the top of this. Good job, Ethan Kaplan, for this lovely graphic. And he went six innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks in his still ill start. This was coming back from the IL. 16 whiffs, 35% CSW, 85 pitches, got the win. This was dope. It makes us feel dope. I just really wanted to just express how cool this is with Hunter Green. The fact that it was not even a still ill, it was just clearly dominance. And he's now at 17 to 18 inches of vert with a slightly flat attack angle, which means that that is actually more of a surprise amount of vert and rise than usual. It's awesome. He also has a 66% strike rate on his slider, and everything is cool. Shane Smith, 5 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks against Detroit. Hey, maybe he's kind of back on the menu here. Maybe they are not holding on to the leash and not shorting him as much as we thought before, limiting him. 5 innings in this one, but 92 pitches. So that's pretty cool to see. 15 whiffs as well. He does get Atlanta next, and then it might be the Royals and Yankees. And honestly, he still might be limited to just 5 innings, which even though they should be doing pitch count and not innings, but whatever. We also saw Martin Perez, by the way, go 3.1 innings after this. 1 run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. That's kind of cool, and you can imagine that he should get some starts moving forward. He might be a Toby. He might be a worthy streamer. Just keep your eye on that. There was also Troy Melton on the other side of it. There's actually two starters in here we're going to talk about. Troy Melton, beautiful. 5 innings, 0 runs, 1 hit, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts. I talked about him on The Craft yesterday with Eno Saris. Go check out that podcast, of course. I'm all for him in 2026. I think he's just fantastic. It's a four-seamer that is 96-plus with a decently flat attack angle, with a decent amount of extension, a decent amount of vert. Like, it's all good and then better, and he commands it well, and he has a wide arsenal, and it's just awesome. You also have Sawyer Gibson-Long showing for 2 innings and only 17 pitches. Ooh, boy, that's cool. And I don't think he's going to be getting starts because here's Troy Melton getting it and not Sawyer Gibson-Long in this spot start. So they have too many guys. There's also Alex Cobb maybe coming back at some point. I don't know. But next year, you might see both of them in the rotation. Maybe not. It might be a battle in spring. I don't know who I like more. Really, it's Troy Melton if they are letting him go in the rotation out of the gate. But honestly, if it's one or the other getting the rotation spot, I don't really care. I just want the right one who has a spot early next year. Brandon Woodruff against the Pirates only went 65 pitches as they wanted to limit him. It was the first time going on 4 days rest since coming back from the IL. So he only went 4 innings, with 0 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Everything's cool there. He will get aces going to ace if he does well against the Cubs next time. I think they'll let him go about 80 pitches in that, even though it is also 4 days rest. You have Trevor Rogers against the against Baltimore. Actually, are they playing today? I don't know if they are. Yes, they are. Doesn't matter. I'm going to stop talking. Trevor Rogers against against the Mariners. I'm thrown off now. 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. He keeps going. 15 whiffs here. 4-seamer and changeup were just beautiful. The slider was okay, but a slider and sweeper, but doesn't matter. The 4-seamer and the sinker also getting involved there makes it harder to read the 4-seamer. Just looking great. Hunter Brown, the fall version of Hunter Green. That is, he doesn't have his chlorophyll. He is a November leaf on the ground. I am so sorry. He went against Boston in Houston, so not at Fenway. Got the win, 6.2 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. He was really laboring against left-handers. Oh my gosh, 4-seamer had a 24% non-competitive rate. 1 in 4 of them were just auto balls against lefties. 0 for 17 whiffs and a 35% strike rate. 65% ball rate. Oh my gosh. Yeah, 41% strikes overall on his curveball as well. But he just made it work somehow because it's Hunter Green. Sorry, Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown. 3 curveballs, got strikeouts in there too. It's just, okay, whatever. I'm not going to be on Hunter Brown next year. I know you already know this likely, but yeah, I'm just not. Joe Ryan against the Yankees. He had a 2 height adjusted VAA, a 2.0, not like a 1.3, 1.5. We've been seeing like a lot of 1.8, 1.9, but 2 is just, it's nuts. 6.2 innings and 1 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. Got the win. I mean, yeah, Joe Ryan's just dope. It makes his field up. 95 also on that fastball. Whew. Nick Pivetta on the other side of that spectrum had a 0.0 height adjusted VAA. Normally we see like 0.2 or something like that with Pivetta, But 0.0, unbelievable. It's the full spectrum of height-adjusted BAA. And he got the win against the Giants. 6.2 innings, one run, four hits, one walk in five Ks. He now has a 2.87 ERA and a 0.95 whip. Nick Pivetta has never had a season under a 4 ERA. Never. So, oh my gosh, it's incredible. He has not allowed as many home runs. And it's just cool to see Pivetta working. You know, it's good for him. I'm glad for everybody who got him in your drafts. He's just been solid for you all year. Drew Rasmussen, honestly, if he were not on any sort of pitch limitation, and just pitching as he was, as if there's no problems or anything, 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks here, 76 pitches. He probably could have gone like 7 or 8 in this one, and he would be in Cy Young contention. I'm not even kidding. It is actually the number one four-seamer by PLV among starting pitchers. Think about that. He has the number one. It's 550 PLV, and it's not like the most overwhelming swing strike rate. It's not even the best ICR, but it is just so well located and with good movement, and it's hard at 95-96. It's consistent. Doesn't have wild versions of this, and then paired with the cutter and the sinker. Oh, man. Ah, yeah, I just wish that Drew Rasmussen can go full next year, right? As for now, I guess we're just kind of holding this and riding with it. You have Cade Horton against Toronto with a win, 5.2 innings, a one run, one hit, two walks, and eight strikeouts. Really cool to see this because on the craft, Eno and I were talking about Cade Horton's future. I'm like, hey, he has like an 18% carry. What's going on here? Should that be better? And I think this start kind of showcases, hey, you can be a 22 to 23%. How do you do it? Well, you do it with well-spotted changeups. You do it with 97 to 98 on your cut fastball times. It really did settle in 95, 96, but still, that was cool. He's getting extra drop on his curveball now, even though it was only two called strikeouts, not big whiffs underneath. Still pretty great to see it. And I can see him as a potential Holly as he continues to develop and polishes. Think of him like a peak Lugo or Merrill Kelly type. He has a great defense around him, good situation. Yeah, I'm a fan of Cade Horton for next year. I thought I wasn't at first. It's kind of like, oh, he's getting lucky and everything. I think a lot of people are going to see it like that. For me with Cade Horton, I am willing to bank in on his development and polishing what he has to become like a Justin Steele type from the right side with a little bit more of a wide arsenal. Cam Schlittler, I'm also in for next year. I think the skills here are very good, and he just still hasn't shown his full potential. 5 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. Nick, come on, there it is. It's against the Twins. Only 6 whiffs, and he did not get his secondaries down, and it drives me up the wall. He also axed this sweeper. It's pretty much just 4-seamer, slider, curveball, and what's this? It's a sinker? All right, sounds cool to me. You're throwing like 97, 98 on the 4-seamer, and you have the sinker that has a different movement on it. It's just even harder to deal with, right? It's not the greatest movement, but that's fine. It's just different. And the problem we have with Cam, not just that the breaking stuff is not getting low, because that's why you don't have those whiffs. They just keyhole upstairs and that's that, really. It's that the Fratty Pirate, Brian Yarbrough, he is likely coming back in like a week or so. And that means two more starts for Cam, the Rays and Nationals. I'm starting him for both of those. It might be Will Warren leaving the rotation instead, because he's obviously been starting all the way through. It might be someone else getting hurt or something like that. You never know. And I hate playing the game of moving on too soon before the opportunity is actually taken from them. So I would keep rolling with Cam, and I feel like he's going to be better next year when he actually has those breaking balls down. Kevin Gausman, 7 innings, 2 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. He got the loss against the Cubs. Man, this against the Cubs is pretty great, isn't it? And I've been low on Gausman. I've considered him a hipster going back and forth, and it's just, he's been so tough to deal with. It's like a 3.8 ERA, but it's a 106 whip and like a 22-23% strikeout rate. And how is he getting that whip? Remember, it was like a 122 whip last year, 124. He had a plus 17 hit luck on his four-seamer last year. What that means is based on the pitches that he threw, we are assessing, great, you should allow this number of hits. And yeah, you allowed 7 more than you should have, or 17 more than you should have. Now, this year, it's minus 11. And that's a 28 hit difference. Oh my gosh, that's so high. He has the lowest BABIP of his career at 245 by 30 points. His previous low was 275. It's not even though due to the contact he's allowing. He's not allowing less hard contact. It's a 41% ICR. Koufax, you are a kind man. And especially at the bottom of the zone. Sorry, and especially in this one against the Cubs, because the four seamers were at the bottom of the zone and they should have been hits galore. All of the balls in play hit off of the fastball were outs. 15 on 15. But Nick, he allowed 16 off the fastball. Aha, not in play. That was a home run. So, I mean, this is what I'm getting at with Gausman is just, wow. It's better to be lucky than good. I still don't trust it. It's wild. He had two whiffs on his splitter, 2 over 20. Okay. I have a lot more pitchers to talk about than just Kevin Gausman. And I'm going to talk about all of those. By the way, Ohtani, over 4 innings now and 80 pitches. We're going to talk about that and so many more after this break. Logan Gilbert against the Orioles. Man, he could be so good if he just located his slider and four-seamer better. 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Sure, ace is going to ace. That's great. He had 7.7 feet of extension, throwing 95-plus on the four-seamer. And you can't get it upstairs. You just can't get the thing upstairs. So you're making it easier for them down. Fine. It's so frustrating. You could be just so good. Merrill Kelly against the Diamondbacks. 6 innings of 200 runs. We'll take that. It is a 1.33 whip. And 5 Ks is fine, but no win in there. It's a dusty donut. Sure, at least everything's cool there. Christopher Sanchez against the Reds. I just gave him aces, gonna ace. I just made him the list featured pitcher. And what does he do? 6 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 6 Ks. It's a poor quality start. 1.33 whip. You got the loss. It's annoying. You didn't even allow a long ball. It doesn't matter that it was in Cincinnati. Oh my gosh. Some errors definitely messed him up. Whatever, fine, but still. Michael McGreevy. I'm calling him Mick. Moving forward, Mick against Rocky Road. Got the poor quality start, so cool. 117 whip, 2 Ks, fine. 7 hits, 0 walks. You should not have Mick on your teams. You have Zach Gallen against the Rangers. 5 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? You got nothing. 140 whip. Was it 520 ERA? Blech. No thanks. I don't want any of this, Gallen. I wonder what kind of contract again, where it go, but yeah, this is not it. Walker Buehler against the Astros. Last time out, we saw that the windup was different. He limited it to make it look like from the stretch, essentially, at all times. Didn't work here. 6 innings, 400 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, and 3 Ks. He had 2 in the first and 2 in the sixth. So at least he had like 4 shutout innings, I guess. But no, I don't like watching Walker Buehler. I think he doesn't do anything special. Eury Pérez against the Guardians. 5 innings of 400 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. He got a gallows pull at 17 whiffs here. And this is interesting because, yeah, sure, home runs got him. He had these fastballs and curveballs down the middle of the plate to lefties. It really bothered me. But what's really cool is that I've watched all these starts from Eury Pérez, and every game he has moments like trying the changeup, and it's been terrible. It was a 35% strike rate in this one, okay? It's not a pitch he's comfortable with, but he knows that it's important because against lefties, the slider and the curve just aren't that good, and guys are pretty much just sitting on that really good fastball. And a changeup would be so perfect. Well, guess what? He threw 17 of those changeups and 6 whiffs. That is not one pitch earned a called strike. Not one of them earned a foul ball. Not one was into play. It was just all whiffs. Absolutely bonkers. 4 strikeouts on that pitch. And I kind of feel like we're getting that development from Eury Pérez that I was hoping to see. And I love the fact that he's just grinding it out. He's saying, I will get this changeup working at some point. Yes, 35% strikes, but you got 4 strikeouts on it. That changes everything, I think, with Eury Pérez. And it's crazy, by the way, to see 3 hits and 4 earned runs and 0 walks. Yep, think about that. I believe that's it. That was a hit batsman. That's when we normally see that. It's wild. Shohei Ohtani against the Angels. 4.1 innings, 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks, and 80 pitches, 14 whiffs. It's time. It's time to actually start having Ohtani in your lineups now. He's going to be treated like a proper starter, I assume. And 98-99 on the four-seamer, even though it's not good shape at all. We have 42% CSW on the sweeper. And he still has a little bit to work on with his approach to left-handers because Ohtani is kind of forcing the 87-88 mile-per-hour slider. It's not really working too well. I do think the 92 mile-per-hour cutter, 93, should be that pitch for him. So we'll see how that plays out. Hopefully the splitter can be much better as well against lefties. Gavin Williams pitched about 127 pitches, was it, in his last start? And I warned y'all that it probably won't be good in the next one. It wasn't. Three innings of four runs, five hits, one walk, and four Ks. It wasn't necessarily a product of fatigue, though. You know, it was still generally hard, and it just didn't really go his way. He had two home runs in the first with a solo shot and a three-run shot, and then he was fine after that, and he was pulled after 75 pitches because he was inefficient, and that's that. He had also a ton of extension in his last start that was now just under 7 feet, and it's like, oh, I just want to see that, but then again, I can understand you're not pushing yourself as much in this one, so fine. Austin Gomber against the Cardinals didn't do well. Shocking, more at 11. Same with Kyle Hendricks against the Dodgers. Duh, let's go. Let's move on here. JT Ginn against the Rays. Now, he got hit. Two innings of five earned runs, six hits, one walk, and three Ks. But I don't really think that he pitched so badly. The command was so good in the previous one, and this one was kind of around the same areas. But the velo did drop to 92-93. This was in Sacro Verde against the Rays. Fine. I think that he could be better against the Twins. So JT Ginn against the Twins is decent as a stream for your deeper leagues. 12 teamers, we don't do it. Mitch Keller in Milwaukee, not very good. Four innings of six and runs, eight hits, two walks, five Ks. Yeah, he has dead zone fastballs, and he still can't get whiffs on his secondary. So what are we doing here? Seth Lugo, what a bad run this has been. He got destroyed last time, and now he got destroyed again. He got bamboozled in the first with a grand slam. So it was four innings of six and runs, six hits, two walks, and two Ks. Oh my gosh. But the thing is, last start, the curve was bad. And this one, the curve was actually kind of good, even though it did allow a home run. He just didn't have strikes on his other pitches. And yes, he was also down to like 90-91 as opposed to pushing 92-93. But still, it's the Rangers next, and then the Tigers twice, and then the Twins after that. Like, you still got to go with Lugo. Okay? It feels like it's a rough patch. He might be hurt. Might be something like that that makes him have more mistakes or something along those lines, or I don't know, but as long as he's pitching, if he's still going in there, he had a curveball that was a 70% plus strike rate. Yeah, I think I'm still going to go with Seth Lugo. Jake Irvin had a lot of extension on his heaters, and it didn't matter. Four innings of six and runs and blah, blah, blah. Don't start him. David Peterson had a very strange one. It was three innings of beautiful baseball. And then Atlanta scored nine runs against the Mets in that fourth. Peterson allowed four and then had two inherited base runners score. So 3.1 innings of six runs, five hits, five walks, and five strikeouts. Oh my gosh. And what's wild is that he actually had the best pitch separation I've seen from all year. Four seamers were upstairs and changeups were away and breaking stuff was down, voiding the heart of the plate to right-handers. Sinkers were inside of lefties. But the thing is, the four seamer missed too much upstairs. The sinker missed too much inside. Oh gosh. Paul Blackburn came in relief, five innings, 200 runs, one hit, one walk, three Ks. He might steal rotation spot in the future. I know it's stupid, but there you go. But really, when it comes back to Peterson, I don't think it's time to jump off. He's got the Nats next. That should be better. You have Carlos Carrasco against the Mets, and now he's been DFA'd for Hurston Waldrop to get regular starts. I'm not as encouraged by Hurston Waldrop as others. That said, I think it's worth a spec ad. He gets Cleveland, and it's a splitter that can be good. The move away from four-seamers is a positive for Waldrop because it's not a good fastball. But I don't really think he has too much to offer. And I'd be careful leaning too heavily into Waldrop. And we have Kai Wei Tang, who had just a horrible game. 1.2 innings of 600 runs, four hits, four walks, and zero strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Yeah, we had one terrible game in this first one, and then it was actually pretty cool with a lot of good secondaries in the second one, and now we get another game of just not having it. So yeah, don't trust Tang. It's unfortunate he is not Tong. Tong is still in the minors with the Mets. This is Kai Wei Tang with the Giants. All right, that is it for today. Enjoy the shorter slate of games today. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow. And as always, the best way to support us is to get PL Pro. Join our incredible Discord. The number one baseball community on the internet is Insider Discord. Why? Because it's gated. We have only had to suspend two people in the history of our Discord, which has been since 2017. And that's because we have such good people inside of it talking about sports and many things the right way, not being incendiary, not being mean to each other, actually just having smart conversations. Those who don't know things ask questions, we all answer them. You know, we want to help everybody there. So join that Discord, and of course get all of our apps and all of our incredible ways to win your fantasy league down the stretch. We are here for you, so join PL Pro Yearly for 15% off with promo code PODCAST. So go to pitcherlist.com/premium, use promo code PODCAST to get 15% all off, all in caps there, PODCAST. All right, that is it. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.